agenda paper 10, the subject of which is fair value.
Yep.
And again, a previous agenda decision that we're talking about.
Agenda paper 10, finalization of agenda decision relating to the fair value hierarchy when consensus prices are used. So again, in September 2014, the Interpretations Committee published a tentative agenda decision not to add to its agenda a request to clarify the circumstances in which prices provided by third parties, especially consensus prices, qualify as a level one input in the fair value hierarchy in IFRS 13 fair value measurement. The Interpretations Committee observed that the guidance in IFRS 13 is sufficient to draw an appropriate conclusion on the issue submitted. The comment period for this tentative agenda decision ended in November 2014, and we received 5 comment letters. 2 respondents supported the Interpretation Committee's tentative decision not to add this to its agenda for the reasons provided in the tentative agenda decision wording. 1 respondent outlined the overview of its approach to providing evaluated prices, including the types of inputs used, and they support an assessment of all available inputs instead of an over-reliance on a single dealer source. Another respondent did not agree with the conclusion and is of the view that there is inconsistent application of IFRS 13 in terms of third-party consensus pricing in practice. More specifically, they stated that the fair value measurement of assets and liabilities within level one of the fair value hierarchy does not consist of a single quoted price, but may consist of several level one inputs flowing into a valuation technique and still result in a level one output. They further asserted that level one inputs are not restricted to prices that reflect the results of a transaction, i.e. executed prices, but may include binding offers and indicative prices. The final respondent believed that the agenda decision raised follow-up questions. More specifically, they asked if a third-party pricing service used a model to measure a fair value, and if all the input parameters in that model constituted a level one input, would a fair value measurement based on that model be categorized within level one of the fair value hierarchy, or the mere use of a pricing algorithm would result in the fair value measurement being considered unadjusted, and this would not therefore not be categorized within level one of the fair value hierarchy. They further asked whether input parameters that lack an actual transaction, such as executable prices, can be considered quoted prices, thus satisfying the level one definition. In analyzing the issue, the staff noted that these questions received added a new dimension to the original issue and were raised subsequent to the publication of the agenda decision. Given that these questions were not part of the original submission, the staff is of the view that further analysis and outreach is needed. However, before embarking on such additional analysis, we would like to seek the Interpretation Committee's view on this matter. We think that answering additional questions would be helpful to stakeholders and recommend that we undertake the additional work to do so. If the Interpretation Committee agrees, we will bring our additional analysis to a future meeting. However, if the Interpretation Committee disagrees, we recommend that we finalize the agenda decision without any further changes. We would like to ask the Interpretations Committee whether our recommendation to address the additional questions raised should be followed on.
So this is another one where the staff is asking permission to work harder or to work more.
They want to make a habit of it.
Pardon me?
I'm saying don't want to make a habit of
no,
it.
No, please. Martin?
I'm supportive to do further research. And the reason why is because I believe for users it is an important information whether I'm in within level one or within level two. And specifically, well, we know that with regard to level two, the fair value quality is in a way deteriorated. And the overall question is, if someone uses a kind of pricing algorithm provided by a third party, which just uses level one pricing inputs, could the outcome out of this be not of that quality than level one? If we would decide on this, depending on probably further research, we would probably add a pricing within level two, which with a very high quality in terms of how I would determine this price from the market, because it's just this pricing algorithm in between, which is based on level one inputs. Overall, and I guess most affected are insurance companies or parties who have to deal with many financial instrument assets. So therefore, I guess it would make sense to do this research.
Kumar, just a question following on to Martin's point. My understanding is that the research you intend to do will include an assessment of the effect on practice of any possible changes or interpretation or whatever.
We'll do.
Or whatever we do, the effect of whatever we do will be evaluated.
We will do our standard due process outreach, Wayne, because these are new questions, so we will reach out to people to get answers.
Well, I guess my point is not just answers as to what they think the better result would be, but also the effect of alternative courses of action that we might take.
Okay. Yeah. Understanding what practices.
Understanding the practices.
Yeah. Understanding the change in practice.
Can I just make one point, and before I would like to, Aldermore. One, it either has to be level two or level one. We cannot sub-segment level two and say this is good or better. The question which I would also like the IC, if possible, is that how prevalent do you think this is? Because for me, I think this is quite a theoretical position, and the only place where I have personally come across this is some kind of matrix pricing. And matrix pricing is clearly you are not in level one, because you're using and you're changing the matrix prices and everything like that. So before we go and do this work, happy to do so, we need to know how relevant, how important is this in practice, because I think practice is not very divergent, honestly, in this area.
Charlotte, you're in a position to have an opinion on that.
I didn't think practice was diverse in this at all. I've never heard it come up as an issue. And to be fair, most people don't care whether something is level one or level two. The focus is on the level two, level three boundary. So I'm happy to dig into it. I don't think this should sort of detract from just finalising the opinion, the agenda decision on the other topic.
Does level one, level two enter into regulatory capital decisions?
No.
No.
There's never any questions on it in sort of earnings release or anything. It just isn't a focus on it.
Okay. Tony?
My sense is that this is not a widespread issue. I'd go ahead and finalise. I guess I'm also slightly curious about how we end up. If level one is quoted unadjusted, then it seems to me as soon as we start playing around with it, that feels to me like an adjustment. So I just go ahead and finalise it, as we've said, and to be honest, I wouldn't go and do any more work.
Okay. Andrew?
Yeah, I also think we can go ahead and finalise the agenda decision.
The wording is
practice. I think there has been something of an evolution. There are a number of institutions that have made reclassifications from level one into level two for assets priced using a pricing service. Where we are right now, the impression I get is that there has been diversity, but that has reduced significantly. If the staff were going to conduct more research, I think testing the validity of that statement might be fruitful. But the real question I have is, if there really is a level one price for identical assets, then why have we got multiple inputs? Yes. Having identified the reference market, the principal and most advantageous market.
We don't record a shake of the head, Kumar. Did you have something?
I agree. I haven't seen it in practice, but my knowledge is not the universal set, so I wanted to check that.
Sandra?
I guess I started off pushing my line because I was like, what does the more work look like? Simply looking at what the implication would be, to me, wouldn't be the acid test on whether something meets the definition of level one or level two. It could just be that everybody did it wrong, right? And it does seem to me that there is diversity in practice because it seems in the illustration that some bunch of things move from one year to the next year in the illustration that's included. But as I read it, I was sort of like, we're using consensus, algorithm, and adjustment as though we know what each one of them means. And I'm not certain that I know, I mean, I have my opinion of what they mean, but I'm not certain that those are universally defined terms. Because you could have the same security traded on different exchanges, couldn't you? And that might be at a different price. I mean, I'm not an expert on market structure, and they could use those and say, well, it's between here. I don't know. But I'm not clear how we're using those terms, consensus, adjusted, and algorithm. I'm just not certain
what it means.
If consensus means I made an adjustment, or if algorithm means I made an adjustment. I don't know. But I mean, I do think there's a difference. I do think people make, as Charlotte said, a bigger distinction between two and three, but I also at times feel like people don't really understand that level two can be as messy as level three, in my opinion, or there's an assumption there in how it's matrix priced, and it may not get the attention that level three may actually get. So I don't know, I'm just not clear on what more work we would do.
We wouldn't be able to define those things, especially for an IFRIC interpretation, Sandra, I agree, because it varies over time. What work was that we would ask, and most probably get a similar response, saying that, do you think this is something that's causing diversity in practice, and what is the practice, the normal IFRIC outreach we do to get an answer before we start addressing the question?
Yeah.
Is this an issue? I'm not sure it is, how widespread it is.
Fei Long, Bob, Martin, and then I'm going to shut it down.
I do not disagree with the staff recommend to do more analysis. But it seems to me that the key issue is that if the use of evaluation technique would give rise to different evaluations from different various valuers, would the valuation be still considered as unadjusted quoted price despite the fact that all inputs are level one? And what are the sources resulting in different valuations from different valuers?
Okay. Bob and Martin?
Just wanted to make sure that the paper that was left on our desk during lunch, this would be the final, because I find this much stronger, much more agreeable than what was previously. I thought that previously I was had a little bit of trouble understanding the last sentence of the penultimate paragraph. But could there possibly ever be a level one that had an adjustment? This, I think, makes it very clear, which is what I thought it should be, and I didn't think there was much diversity on this.
Yeah.
So I would be fine finalizing this.
Martin?
Yes, I believe it is an issue for more or less at least two industries. It is for the banking industry and for the insurance industry. To be honest, I don't know exactly the background with regard to this, say, pricing algorithm. As Sandra said, it could probably be something like, you have four exchange places, for example, in Germany, Frankfurt, Stuttgart, and Munich, and you have three different closing rates. They are close together each, which one is the right one? And what does this, well, pricing agency then do? Is it a kind of algorithm matrix divided by three or what else? All three are level one inputs, and depending on the market day, you might either have a higher volume in Munich or in Frankfurt or what else. So it, it might depend. I'm not sure. And for that reason, I guess it makes sense to do further research, because otherwise, if you just say, and I'm not going from interpretation, I just think that for a right wording within the non-interpretation, that would make sense to have a clearer insight, because otherwise, if we come up with a kind of wording which leads to the conclusion that although level one inputs are used, if a pricing agency is included any time you are within level two, again, this could dilute the information value, and that's my issue.
I know we had a discussion. My recollection is we had a discussion during the deliberations on 13 about what would happen if you had an observed price in London and Tokyo. And I believe the conclusion was, no, if you tried to average the two of those, you couldn't avoid the time difference, notwithstanding the currency difference potentially, but certainly the time difference. And that therefore, if you average the two of those, that would be a level two. That was my recollection of what we talked about. But if you talk about Munich, Stuttgart, and Frankfurt, I think they're all in the same time zone, so.
So therefore, I said I'm not absolutely sure about how this works.
But Martin, why would you then start at what? Because then my argument to you is that you have a level one price.
Yeah. What?
How can you override that price even to go through and take a price which is coming from some other source?
Which one would you use? The one of Frankfurt or the one of Munich?
That depends upon which one you have access to and which is the most liquid.
Yeah.
And which is the most liquid? But that has got to be something which banks do, and we don't mean you average the two. No, I don't think banks will take an average of the two.
No, besides the measurements on the closing date.
Closing date. On that exchange, that's the bell you will take.
Anyway, let's not beat up on Martin. He's trying to...
In FRS 13, when you have access to two markets which give you a different price, the fair value is a price on the most advantageous market that you can
have access to.
So in Martin's case, if he can sell his shares either on Frankfurt or Munich with a small difference, he would probably sell in the one which has the highest price. Otherwise, he's not very clever. So he can access the two easily, so he would take a higher price here.
Again, that's accepted. In theory, absolutely I'm able to follow you. But in practice, I might have some doubts
that insurance companies are using on one day the closing price of Frankfurt and on the other day the closing price on Munich, because there is, if you have liquid equity instruments, there are only 1 or 2 cents difference in between, and therefore they make use of a probably specific service, and therefore probably then, according to our interpretation, if we would finalize it in that way, they would end up in level two. So therefore, I said it would probably make sense to spend some research, and then probably at the next meeting we could say, oh no, okay, it's done. We are either in or we say it is not worth to do any further discussion at all, because it's this model is not material.
Bruce?
So the only thing I'd like to say on this is I can see there's a valid point, but I'm just wondering, is this the right committee to look at it? I mean, I guess there's... We know that education material is being pushed out, and if it was 13, surely those guys should take a look and see if there's something they want to put out. But I'm just trying to work out, if the staff go off and do a wonderful piece of work over the next 2 months and come back, is that really going to change? Do we suddenly think we're going to issue an interpretation on it? I don't think we're going to issue an interpretation, and I don't believe we're going to amend IFRS 13 on it either. So I'm saying I think the end goal for us as the interpretations committee is, I don't think that whether the staff do the work or whatever they come back with, I'm not convinced we're going to do anything with that, which is why I'm just not convinced. I agree there could be an issue, but I'm just not convinced where there are people to be looking at it.
John?
mean, I think we should finalise the agenda decision, but I think the two questions in paragraph 16 raised by the Accounting Standards Committee of Germany, I think it's premature to say there's no diversity on those just by asking around the table. It seems to me it might be worthwhile the staff doing some outreach to see whether there is any diversity. I am particularly in relation to binding offers and binding quotes, the second question. So maybe rather than going and doing a lot of analysis, some outreach to determine the level of diversity that there is, and then we can make a decision as a committee whether we should take it on.
Let me propose this. Sort of a Solomon approach. The staff probably understandably brought this as a binary decision. If they do more work, you can't issue the agenda decision. If you issue the agenda decision, they can't do more work. I'm not sure that's true. So ignoring whether or not these guys have anything better to do with their time, may I see a show of hands on issuing the agenda decision? Okay. Now, that means that the issue that was submitted to us is now, for purposes of our project process, closed. Does the staff have the committee's permission to spend as much time as they think they can reasonably spend between now and the next meeting and report back? It won't be a submission, it won't be an issue, it'll be a report back, and then it will be at the committee's discretion what all y'all do it with. Any objection to that?
Just one comment. I think the language in IFRS 13 is very similar to FAS 157.
Oh, it's identical.
So can we just make sure that we're not creating a difference where there shouldn't be one?
Acutely aware of that.
I just want to make that point very explicit.
And do the outreach.
Yeah, and one of my personal objectives of the outreach, and that's why I asked Kumar for the effect on practice, one of the things that we observe, for better or worse, is identical standards don't get applied the same way.
I know.
And we learned that first with IFRS 3. Okay, we were due for a break.